Hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way. This one we're doing a little bit differently. We're doing it live, so don't judge me if the editing doesn't sound as good as usual.
Judge. Send all the hate and emails to John that I will then read because I will absorb it.
Whoa, that's weird.
The hate makes me stronger.
Okay. Well, I suppose that's not really weird for Adam, is it?
No, not even a little.
Well, I suppose, how do we begin?
Well, let's dive right into the current absolute panic that is gripping the world, my dear friend John. So,
wait, did those pictures of my hair get out?
No, that's not panic. That is rejoicing, resounding, gnashing of teeth, just fantastic joy that people would feel upon seeing your magnificent hair, John. There is no doubt. No, today we're going to start straight off with the fear that is absolutely gripping the world at the moment, the media-driven fueled fear of the coronavirus, COVID-19. So yes, good fun. So, if you have been, I don't know, on the International Space Station without any communication, and on your re-entry, your emergency re-entry, for some reason, your communications stuff have picked up on our podcast, well done for you. And I really hope that you don't break up on re-entry. But
yes,
for everybody else, if you have not somehow heard of what is gripping the world at the moment, with the outbreak of the coronavirus, COVID-19. Sorry, I should say an outbreak of a coronavirus, COVID-19.
So, corona just means crown, right?
Correct, yes.
That's why it shares its name with a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unique to this virus at all,
no,
right?
The reason why it's called a coronavirus is, you're correct in the crown analogy there, is that when the cells come together and form, they're in the shape of a crown. So under a microscope, you can see that type of stuff. So it's called coronavirus.
Well, since I developed microscopic vision,
you're
I can
seeing
actually
it everywhere.
See
that. Wow, that's Whoa, really...
There's one right there. Don't
kill it, John.
It.
Kill it. Kill it.
I don't have laser beam eyes. I'm sorry.
No, but that's my power. So
just look exactly there. Not there. There.
So with the good old COVID-19 that's just sweeping nowhere at the moment. Well, at least in Australia.
It's really gone viral. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Oh, John.
The knowledge of it's gone viral.
Yes.
It is
we'll
literally
say that.
A virus itself.
So we have just a lot of stuff going on at the moment. We're all over the world. So it is like outbreak quite large in the city of Wuhan, where it is thought that this virus came from at a wet market, you know, eating koalas and what have you. Yum. And it has spread out from there. What really, crazy echo of all this, except for the mortality rate, which we'll get to. But I'm not sure if you've ever read or heard of The Stand by Stephen King. We've discussed it on the podcast before. But it starts with a gentleman in a research facility. And all of a sudden, the quarantine alarm starts going off. And he's like, oh, hell no. And he manages to escape just as, there was a malfunction in the door that means it didn't close as quickly as everywhere else.
Yeah.
So he managed to get out thinking, oh, no, I haven't been exposed. I'm fine.
But of course he has.
Gets home. He's like, oh, we need to get out of here. We're traveling. We're going out. Gets his family together and spreads the disease massively. And yeah, it's crazy. So just real crazy echo of that. If, I don't know, if everybody starts dying, John, we're basically in The Stand.
Yeah.
So COVID-19 was first reported in COVID-19, not coronavirus, not Wuhan, in December in 2019 in Wuhan City in China. There's other coronaviruses. So you've got the Middle East respiratory system, respiratory syndrome, which is called MERS. And then you got severe acute respiratory system syndrome. Which is called SARS.
Mm-hmm. That was my favorite one. I think I didn't really understand how to process mass sensation and hysteria when SARS came out. I can't remember what year it was, but I was.
I mean, John, you're a bit of a germaphobe as well.
I'm a germaphobe, so I would see it on the news and be like, "That's it, I'm gonna die now." And I remember having a nightmare where my cousin's house had been sealed off by the government or something because they'd got it and it was sealed, kind of in the E.T. That, but I hadn't seen that movie yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I didn't really know how to process the media panic when that one came out. Anyway,
Yeah, so I've been actually just going to that briefly.
Sorry, did I just spoil the...
No, not at all. No, I've been, I have been worried about you through all this type of stuff because I've just been thinking, wow, with all the media sensationalism and hype and then, like, it's been... I am so disappointed in journalists and editors and all that type of stuff, in just the general media, and they have totally taken advantage of... Like, don't get me wrong, it's great to have the information out there, but not every second article, every 14 minutes, needs to be about the coronavirus, about the sort, like the shortages of panic buying and things like that, because that only spreads it further. It's ridiculous.
When it changes from information to sensationalizing,
that's good.
When it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I like that.
But I must say, my wife is a journalist, so I have friends who are journalists. We're not...
You're all evil and should be purged from the gene pool, except for Bethel. So she's safe.
She's not a journalist.
No, she's going to be, though. Let's face it. I mean, she's the daughter of the chronicler.
Who is a journalist.
Yes.
With my wife.
Yes.
If this is someone's first episode tuning into the podcast, I'll be like, wait, so who's a... That's the person. I'll let you figure it out.
That's right. You'll get it. No explanation necessary. So anyway, coronavirus. So here's some just basic quickfire info without all the sensationalism. Now, this information comes from the Australian Government Department of Health. So you know, the Australian government is so boring that you know that there's going to be absolutely no hype surrounding this, right? So,
ouch, but also kind of not ouch.
I think it's a bit of a compliment, to be honest, because you know that in some type of panic, the Australian government's just going to be like, all right, here's some info, whatever. Let's go back to having some beers, whatever, you know. Anyway.
And just before you jump in, I have to say, our podcast is about the world ending.
Yeah, for sure.
How you can survive it. Mm-hmm. So if any podcast is going to be helping you survive the apocalypse and prevent you from getting in trouble over something, it's going to be us.
It is totally us. We're definitely not cashing in on all this.
We definitely did not cause the virus. No, I don't know what these accusations coming
out. I don't know. I've had Mossad. I've had the KGB. I don't even know if they're still a thing. Anyway. So, symptoms of the coronavirus are the COVID-19, I should say. They range from mild illness to pneumonia. So pneumonia is pretty serious, right? Let's face it.
Yes.
So that's pneumonia is like a lot of the like the elderly or the very young or those who already have respiratory problems. Some people will recover quite easily and others will get, very, very sick, which is unfortunate. So people with the coronavirus may experience fever, flu-like symptoms such as coughing, sore throat and fatigue. Oh, I think I've definitely got the coronavirus. I'm constantly fatigued. And shortness of breath.
I'm now holding my breath for the rest of the episode.
So, most cases of COVID-19 at the moment are coming from Wuhan City, right? That's where, the outbreak has just exploded in fury and madness, okay? So, it's going all over the place, but it is spread. So, there are some interesting things about how it spreads, right? Because the virus is mutated a couple of times. Someone who is infected, if you're in close contact with them, contact with droplets from an infected person who cough or sneeze, which is kind of disgusting, and touching objects or services like doorknobs or tables that have had cough or sneeze droplets from an infected person on them, and then touching your mouth and face. So, all that's really required is basic hygiene practices.
Yeah.
Right? Wash your hands, you filthy animals. Okay? And the what do you call it? Like the Dettol antibacterial stuff, which is also being sold out at the moment, but whatever. Mm. All that type of stuff. Wash your hands. Two happy birthdays while washing your hands. That's the proper hygiene practice. Mm-hmm, so, exactly.
I should also say, while you're saying the Dettol, Dettol works, but soap and water is just as effective, if not more. So, if it's sold out, don't even worry about it. Just
For sure.
Use normal soap. That works.
And just refrain from touching your face. Like, as in...
I was literally about to touch
I was watching,
need to shave my... Like, I've got a bit of stubbly scrubble, whatever you
but
call
it. But, I've got a big old beard and I don't,
You don't touch it. But it gets itchy for me, so I need to shave it all off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Corona's getting me.
Corona's Yep, you're going to get drunk. Wait, that beer virus is coming for you, mate. So, we're just going to go through some quick stuff here because it's a lot of the sensationalism and everything. So we don't want that. So wash your hands as often as possible with soap and water. When you are sneezing, and I'm looking at you people on the train. When you are sneezing, use a tissue to cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Or if you don't have one of those, into the crook of your elbow. Do a dab, right? Not only will you look incredibly fashionable and the youth will just get up and applaud you for doing this.
You'll go viral on TikTok.
You will go viral for having a sneezing fit and doing 120 dabs, right? So just calm your farm, all right, fam? Calm your farm, fam. Right? Because now here's the fun part, right? Australia is in like a crazy place at the moment when it comes to the coronavirus with COVID-19 because we are going nuts when it comes to buying toilet paper. Like,
yep.
Insane in the membrane. The whole... my shopping center had no toilet paper whatsoever when I went there the other week, which didn't really bother me because I had, before all this blew up, I had already purchased my toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And I don't purchase my toilet paper like the rest of, you know, humanity. I buy my toilet paper on Amazon because A, I get the magnificent four-ply glory that makes you feel like you're wiping your buttocks with a cloud, which makes you do feel a little guilty, but it feels great.
But you save... I do save paper because you don't use it.
Like. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So I'm set. But I was just like, my goodness. And we've seen like videos and film clips of people fighting over toilet paper. I saw a picture, right? There was a guy standing on the side of the road. He had like one of those trailers that you attach to the back of your car. Yeah. And he had a pallet full of toilet paper on that. No. And a sign selling toilet paper on the side of the road. One toilet paper roll for $2, three for $5, or a box for like, I don't know, like 50 or something like that. And I just thought, wow, now if that isn't taking advantage of this panic riddled nonsense, I don't know what is. So yeah, I was just like, it's crazy. Like I, as a joke, I bought a cable for John today. And right next to us, we have a shop called Farmer Jack's, which is kind of, I don't know about it, international listeners, but it's like this independent type of chain of mini, I don't know, not shopping centers.
I don't know how independent it is, but sure.
Yeah, like the franchises.
It's a grocery shop.
Yeah, it's a grocery shop. But anyway, yeah, I went in and bought a pack of four-ply toilet paper for John because, you know, I care for my co-host and I want to make sure that he has the capacity to wipe his bottom.
Not just for smelly reasons.
No. I don't want to do a podcast with him while having to sit through that nonsense. So we had, but I went through that and they put up signs and everything like that saying, you know, one unit of toilet paper per customer, essentially, which there's ways to get around that, of course, but at least they're making the effort to do so. But it's just insane. I mean, John, have you had any experience thus far?
Of buying toilet paper or the lack thereof?
Oh, well, just like just the mass, just like the mass hysteria or anything.
So as Adam said, I am a bit of a germaphobe. That's true. I think one of the major changes that's happened recently as I now work from home instead of working in the city.
Oh, yeah. So good.
So that means not only do I not have to worry about office aircon, but also I don't have to worry about if I'm on the train and someone next to me is coughing and I don't get a chance to move out the way, or I think it's too rude to move out of the way, which it could be.
Don't even worry about that. Like, I just shove them over and trample them.
The surviving the apocalypse, the nerd's way, does not promote violence on public transport.
Quite right, yes.
So I don't have to worry quite so much about that because I was getting sick quite often. Since I've been working from home, I've gotten sick far, far less.
Oh, nice.
Which has been amazing for me because I seem to get sick a lot.
I know the reason for that as well.
Really?
You are incredibly skinny and have no body fat to shield you from viruses.
Apparently, that's true. The more body fat you have, the more protection you have from viruses. I do not have a lot. I've tried and I can't gain weight.
Nope.
But he
says smugly, look at that grin on his face. I've tried gaining weight, but I just can't. Oh, look at me and my skinny body.
I wanted to get swole, but it didn't happen. Is what I'm saying. Where was I?
Sorry, the train, you're not getting sick as
much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's much better. My company is going over to the US at the moment and it's scary. The conference they were going to got cancelled. I think that it's not like scary from the point of view of, oh no, they're going to die of the virus. It's just more like, oh, everything's changing and it's affecting the economy in a big way. But it's not the virus itself that's caused that, which is important to remember.
Yes.
It's everyone's opinion about the virus that's causing that. So we're buying a bit less of luxury items or other kinds of items, and we're just
stockpiling
stockpiling quote-unquote essentials like toilet paper, and that doesn't really help a healthy economy because we don't need that much toilet paper purchasing. And of course even the toilet paper companies aren't benefiting that much, because once the panic goes away, no one will be buying toilet paper for ages because they've got a massive stockpile.
I still will, because I haven't bought into this whole nonsense.
So, I mean, from that point of view, it is affecting the economy a lot. So, I think it's important to remember we're not going to die. And like I said earlier, we are the surviving the apocalypse, the nerd's way. If anyone's going to make a big deal about the world ending, it's going to be us. So, if us on this podcast are telling you, don't quite worry so much, you probably don't need to quite worry so much.
100%. So here we go. I'm just going to throw out some quick fire facts for you, John.
Okay.
So as of 11 a.m. on what's today? Today, all right, we have 80 confirmed cases of coronavirus, including 3 deaths in Australia, right? So 80. That's it.
Okay.
We have 25 million people in Australia, 27 million, whatever it is, right? So we have 40 in New South Wales. We have 12 in Queensland. 6 in South Australia, but nobody knows about South Australia, so it's fine. 2 in Tasmania, which I'm surprised about, really. 8 in Victoria. Yeah. 2 in Western Australia. Now, kudos to the West Aussies, right? Because, now, I give a lot of flack to the West Australian government, right? But I must say, they have done really well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm really surprised that there's only 2 in Western Australia. But anyway, so we've got 15 of the initially reported cases in Australia all had to do with direct or indirect travel to the city of Wuhan and the threat spread from there. So it's actually quite interesting, some of the facts that are out there. Like the Prime Minister recently announced that the activation of the National Coordination Mechanism, which sounds really impressive. But
yeah,
it's
wow.
Not.
I so am
it's basically impressed. Like a federal and state and local government all working together to combat all this type of stuff, which I'm happy with because I think a lot of coordination is required to deal with this type of stuff. So across the world, there have been more than, quote unquote, 108,800 confirmed cases of COVID-19.
It's now up to 111,228.
Right. Okay. Because this was reported today at 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you told me some facts. Go on.
Because now this has been reported at 7:03 p.m.
Yeah. Okay. Radio.
So I don't know if you can see this, Adam, but maybe describe it to the viewers. I would describe this as a dashboard. Probably, like, have you ever played the game Plague Inc.?
I made that game. No, not really. yes,
it was
I have.
Made for you. Mm-hmm. So this game, you design a virus and try to infect the whole world and wipe out the human race, essentially. So what I have on my screen is probably quite similar to that game.
Yeah.
Except it's coronavirus. So if we just imagine that we are playing Plague Inc. right now, you can see every individual country, how many people have gotten
there. Wow, look at that. That's crazy. China just like blew up with red. So it's pretty crazy. Like Australia is super, super like not attached to this. Well, so at least in WA. And Russia, it's not even existent in there. Wow.
It just was too cold. Corona
nobody wants to. Yeah, yeah.
So besides Russia and, I mean, Greenland and Canada.
Yeah.
There's this sort of area here encompassing Africa and the western side of Australia that really has no infection by the virus.
Well, not a lot of it anyways.
I think that finally there's a benefit for Perth being the most isolated capital city.
I think you're correct, yeah.
But if you're listening to this podcast and you're not in Perth, also don't panic. Like,
you're going to die. No.
We're not saying everyone except Perth is in trouble. We're just saying, you know, there's maybe you don't need to panic quite so
much. You really don't need to panic. Seriously, folks. You, like, okay. I don't want to say, yeah, you need to panic or spread fear or anything like that. But basic caution should be come into effect here.
It's not.
Right? So, like, the elderly and the young are vulnerable to this type of stuff because it attacks the respiratory system, right? So, you know, keep that in mind. And for the love of science, Australia, don't be stockpiling toilet paper.
You don't need it.
Because you really don't. Because 70% of Australia's toilet paper stock is made in bloody Australia. It's not imported. The supply chain's not going to break down. I promise you. If you end up on the bog, right? Sorry, international listeners. If you end up on the toilet, right? And realize, oh, I haven't got any toilet paper because the supply chain's broken down. Tweet me. I will do whatever I can to get you some bog roll, okay? I promise you. Don't stress. Ah, yes. Now, so, I do like what some of... Well, at least in Western Australia, I'm not too sure about internationally or nationally. So, what they're doing... Because the problem is in Australia anyways, the rest of the world should be... Well, Southern Hemisphere. We are entering into our cold and flu season, right?
Yeah.
So, the number of cases of coronavirus, quote unquote, if you didn't hear that sarcastic tone in my voice, being reported, will rise because people who get the cold or flu are going to think, oh no, I've got the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So, what are they going to do? They're going to go to the hospital. They're going to go to their GP. Go to the GP, great idea. Don't go to the emergency department because it's not an emergency.
And also... If you haven't been in contact with someone who has confirmed to have not only been to China, but to have the virus, you probably almost definitely don't have it. If you know someone that has been there, then it might be a good idea to ring your GP before rocking up because you don't want to put anyone at the hospital.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm.
But that's only if you've actually known someone who has it. It's like very small chance.
Yeah. No, that's fair. So, I would... So, the government and private health organizations. So, what they've done, because they realize what's going to happen, is I know Fiona Stanley and Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital have set up demountable buildings as a coronavirus, kind of like wellness center, if you will, to like process those cases. So, that way people who come into the hospital aren't bogging down the emergency department, which I think is a really good thing. So, I don't know. I'm not worried about the coronavirus.
You're not worried about anything, though.
I'm really not.
So, as a germaphobe, I suppose I could tell you, if you are worried, like, obviously try to not be worried, but if you really can't help it, channel that worry into washing your hands, not touching your face.
Develop an OCD complex.
But don't channel it into buying toilet paper or canned goods.
That's good advice, John.
I went on the Doomsday Preppers Reddit and they had a reminder post up there. It's like, if we all love the hobby of Doomsday Prepping because it's fun and it makes you enjoy your normal life a lot more. If there is a worldwide pandemic that opens up and it's not cool to then start the doomsday prepping hobby.
Yeah.
If you didn't have everything prepared before it starts, don't do it now because you're just contributing to the panic and you're taking stuff away from people that really need the stuff.
Like I saw...
Wait until it's over and then you can enjoy the doomsday prepping hobby.
Exactly. Like I saw an image of an elderly gentleman. This was in Woolworths, one of our grocery stores here in Australia. And he was trying to buy toilet paper, but there was literally none left. So the poor guy was like collecting, like trying to get tissues to use his toilet. I'm just like, now that is sickening. So yeah, if anyone out there, if any of our listeners have gone and purchased 12 boxes of toilet paper because of this, I wish you ill, sir or ma'am.
Or you can unget wished ill by going onto your local Facebook Buy Nothing group and offering up some of those toilet paper.
Give it to
rolls.
Those in need. That's 100%. I like that is fine. You will...
And then you'll be positive on the goodwill. Yeah,
exactly.
Wishing.
On my ill will, you will then have will ill.
I've lost
you're ill. You know, you're like sick, if you get what I mean. Okay. Wow, I shouldn't really use that, you know, you're sick and ill in a coronavirus episode.
Yeah,
okay.
It's insensitive.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just think...
Have we beaten a dead horse enough?
I think we have. I would just say...
Or a dead bat.
Dead bat. Turtle, maybe. I don't know. Who knows where this came from. Yeah, I don't know. What about some something funny about the coronavirus. Okay. Okay? So, something funny about the coronavirus. No, there's nothing funny. No, there is. There's a couple of funny things. So, one of the craziest conspiracy theories I heard, right, was this is a genetically mutated virus to promote infertility amongst anyone who catches it. So, I did some research on this. Okay. Not on the absurdity of the fact, right?
Yeah.
Because when I read this, I'm just like, this sounds genuinely familiar. Like, okay. I have... this is ringing all sorts of bells in my noggin. So, I'm just like, where have I heard this before? And the person who made this conspiracy theory, it is based off a Dan Brown novel, for word, called Inferno, where this biochemist, neurologist, whatever, created a virus that infected the world population to reduce the fertility of someone, like a people, by 50%, essentially. And that's exactly what this person has just nicked that idea.
If you've played the Mass Effect game, that's kind of like the genophage virus that they use to control the Krogan population.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, John. Sorry, No. That's exactly what's needed. We need to tie nerd stuff into reference. This. I love it, John. I love it.
All right. Yeah, I guess that's important to remember, is some people are just going to have fun and experiment and see how viral they can make their stuff over the top of the virus.
And I think,
like us, we only recorded this episode because we wanted to talk about it, but we wanted to put a positive influence. Exactly. But a lot of people are going to use that opportunity for ill will.
Again. I love it. Yeah. What I'd recommend for our dear listeners, because our listeners, John, are the smartest listeners on the planet, right? There's no denying that. They are the most intelligent people out there. Because
except possibly the QI podcast. That one's pretty good.
Oh, okay, fair. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, fair. But anyway.
Second smartest listeners on the planet.
So, and I'm sure you already know this, fine folk. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook or Twitter. Don't.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln said that, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. Don't believe everything that your media is trying to shove down your throat. Look at your government's websites. They usually have the actual information required. So just chill. Just take a breath. But not of Wuhan Air. So, yeah.
All right, so tell me about this next topic on the list.
Okay, I've talked a lot, so I'm going to make this nice and brief.
Okay.
So, one of my friends has been bugging me for years to read a series of books called... Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
No, that's the series called... Wait, no, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. No, the series is called Malazan, Book of the Fallen. So, already it has my my attention, because Malazan, Book of the Fallen sounds so sexy, it's not even funny. I mean, say it, John. Say it in like a deep, sonorous voice. Go on.
Malazan, Book of the Fallen.
I like it. I like it a lot. So, Malazan, Book of the Fallen is a grand epic, okay? Lots of books.
How old is it?
Yes. It's quite old. I think, it's 80s maybe. Not too sure, to be perfectly honest.
Because when I heard it, I was like, is this, a 1400s, book that they've just uncovered?
Oh, no, unfortunately not.
1400
that would be pretty
BC.
Epic. Oh, what? 1400 BC?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I mean, Jesus probably read it. I mean, he's just like, this is epic. I love it.
But the 80s, okay.
Yeah. So, anyway. Malazan, Book of the Fallen is a grand epic. I've only read the first book, right? Okay. And because the reason why I'm bringing this up, so many people out there have said Malazan Book is a great series, but it's hard to get into because there's a lot of characters, and with the first book as well, called Gardens of the Moon, there's a lot of, it's kind of difficult to follow. So what I did, I'd put it off for ages because I'm just I don't want to get hooked on another big series. Thankfully, it is a finished series, which makes me happy. I'm looking at you, Rothfuss. It is a finished series, so that's good. But, it's very long, and I'm just like, I don't know if I have the endurance to go through that after Wheel of Time.
Okay.
Because I was so disappointed with Wheel of Time.
Oh, no.
So, Gardens of the Moon, I was so hesitant to get into it. But when I did, I found... easy as pie. I didn't have a problem with it.
Okay.
If you're going to read this, and I do recommend you do it because I think it is one of the better fantasy settings out there. is that when you're doing it, focus on one of the central characters and then slowly allow the characters around that person to bleed into the story. So don't try and memorize everything or everyone. Just like start with the central character and then move on from there. So it follows a lot of the gods, essentially. Well, no, that's a lie. It follows people, but the gods kind of play mischievously in and around the world. It's fantastic. I would highly recommend it. I'm currently going through the next book called Dead House Gates, but I have been so incredibly tired the past few days that I just haven't bothered. But no, give it a read. I'd highly recommend it. Malazan Book of the Fallen. Lots of high magic. There's like the way I view it, dark elves. I'm going to say a name to you, right?
Okay.
And I want you to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 on how freaking amazing it is. Ready? And Amanda Rake.
16.
Yeah, right. And Amanda Rake, who's like the head, like kind of like a king almost, right? Who's so uber powerful, where he's got this sword that kind of like imprisons your soul, forcing it to carry this, like pull this gigantic, I don't know, the way I view it is like a gigantic wooden bus, like, and you're chained around your neck and you have to pull it with all the other people. This sword is devoured. Incredible. It's amazing. That's like my favorite scene. So, and Amanda Rake, pretty damn cool. What I don't like about Malazan Book of the Fallen is one character whose name is Crupper, right? And the reason I don't like this character is because he says his own name. He talks in the third person constantly and it makes me want to disembowel myself. Oh, Grupper is very hungry. Grupper would like to eat this. Grupper would like to throw himself off the bridge whilst on fire. Unfortunately, he's a rather powerful individual.
Well, John reckons that's not such a bad thing to do.
You're going down, John. So, yeah, give it a listen. I mean, just for Amanda Rake. Pretty epic. But
is there an audio book?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the narrator is epic source. he does it very well. I'd say one of the better ones I've heard.
Wow.
So give it a go on Audible. Audible's fantastic. Give it a listen. Love it. That, I would say, is it.
So it's been a while since...
Yeah, sorry.
Since we've last had music on the podcast.
It has.
And it's fitting that you chose to sing, copy sing me. So
I have been lacking in musical enrichment in my life, John.
Well, I have a new song that's out that's definitely not produced by me, or I'm not related to it in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
And I'm
not
using this podcast as a free way to shill my own music. As you can tell, because there's a girl singing it, it couldn't possibly have me being
involved.
No, of
course. No, and I can hear your voice, John.
Yeah.
There's no way you can sound like a girl.
Yeah, I mean, I just need to make my voice a bit low.
I mean, maybe if you get scared and you let out a little squeal on occasion, maybe.
Like that time at ice skating. Oh, man.
Huh?
Oh, you don't remember.
No, I don't.
Like that time you reversed your car into me.
That's I don't know what you're talking about. So, John, hit that song. We'll discuss that afterwards.
All right.
So, we're going to listen to a song. What's the song called, John?
Well, it's called Open Sky, and I wrote it. I mean,
someone wrote it.
A long time ago, and they recently... That person, who's not me, recently decided to produce it again in a new and more modern style.
Yep.
So hopefully it is enjoyable. It doesn't have a fake out.
No fake out?
Yeah. Well, which you love when a song pretends to stop and...
Oh, not you can just make your own. It just stops for a second and then the beat continues. It's epic. I love it. And I will do that in my head.
Yeah, take your headphones off for a second and then put them back on when you think...
See, this is how I produce music.
All right. Less is more.
Yeah.
By taking away the song completely. I like it.
Enjoy. Step outside, feel the fresh air. The sky, our ticket to anywhere. The cold wind blows on our faces. Look at you, my heart races. When we fall together. I'm whoever wrote that song deserves all the accolades. Like, if I knew who had, I would probably, like, just... If they had any outstanding challenges to me, I would probably just release them from those obligations. But, I mean, because I really enjoyed that song. Because there was a mini fake out in there as well, which I really enjoyed. So, I mean, but unfortunately, the writer is just unknown. And who was the singer, John? That was a really nice voice.
The singer's name is Chantel Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of her debut songs, I believe.
Glorious. So
it'll be out on Spotify 26th of March, which may be us, but you're listening to this podcast.
So you are the first, because I'm assuming this podcast will go out pretty quick recording.
Yeah. Since I don't need to edit
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, wow, our listeners will be the first people to hear that song.
That is correct.
Wow. And I'm the first person to hear that song.
Well...
No, just give it to me, John. I mean, I guess you didn't even write the John. You didn't even write it, okay?
Well, considering I definitely didn't. Just search for Pianocly on Spotify. Open Sky is that one. I hope you enjoyed it.
I thoroughly did, and I hope our listeners did as well. Our listeners are the best, John.
Yes.
And I know this for a reason.
Mm. I was going to say, I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes you bring it up? I know this for
a reason. Because one of our listeners is a young girl.
Yes.
Right? Her name is Eloise.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she listens to our podcast. And I know she's the best because she recently received a whole bunch of knives for her birthday. Throwing knives... pocket knife, like proper fixed blade, folding knives, all that type of stuff. Epic sauce. And
is that a normal birthday gift? I need to upgrade my birthday gift requests.
Yeah, I guess so. But they were epic. So I got a photo sent through, looked amazing. So shout out to Eloise for just being an amazing survivalist and getting ready to, I don't know, fling your throwing knives at marauding undead marauding infected coronavirus patients that are attempting to burst through your home and steal your toilet paper. Because as we know from science... Science tells us this, that coronavirus-infected people crave toilet paper.
Wait, that means all the people stockpiling it are in grave danger.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
To me, this feels so obvious that we're joking. But just in case it isn't, coronavirus is not a zombie virus. You do not need to defend yourself against people with it.
Not a zombie virus, but they do crave toilet paper.
That's not true. Scientific facts.
Scientific facts. This is from the Australian government, John. Just don't look at the website. It's crashed. Oh, damn. Unfortunate. Shout out to Eloise. Shout out to Eloise. Enjoy.
Oh, boy.
John, we have a disagreement.
We do.
You and I disagree on something, which, I mean, I guess isn't entirely...
3-ply is better than 4-ply toilet paper.
I'm taking this toilet paper home then.
Okay, besides that disagreement, you would say less ply.
Don't know. Why would you say that, John? Why do you believe such a blatant lie? Anyway, so the disagreement is this. I believe...
The dress was blue, not gold. And it was Yanni, not Laurel.
Wow, we're going throwbacks
these,
here.
Yeah, these references.
Wow. New listeners like born before, I don't know, 2000? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway.
All right, we won't crack any jokes this time.
I appreciate it. It's okay. I believe The Witcher is one of the greatest TV shows, and you disagree. See, this is why the people love me, because I love The Witcher. Look, they're my peeps.
I was ready to enjoy a new fantasy series, but it just didn't... I don't know. It didn't feel real. All the dialogue, the expressions they were using were from modern day, and I just couldn't get into the world.
You say expressions in modern day. What are you referring to there?
Yeah, like some of the things they said to each other. I've forgotten it all now.
Oh, I see what you're... Sorry. In my head, don't know why, but in my head, I thought you meant facial expressions. And I was like, How are facial expressions modern day? You see that quirk of the lip? That's so 2000s meme lord. But yeah,
they were dabbing at each other.
Dabbing.
Yeah, verbal expression. So a good example. So I'm going to say an example of what I consider to be great fantasy mm-hmm. is Patrick Rothfuss's Name of the Wind. And he would be like, he would take expressions and he would give up new reason for why it was the way it was. Like that doesn't affect the price of butter or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. So he would take a few of them and like repurpose them given their own like history and story and reason they exist in his world.
Mm.
If you're creating a fantasy world that isn't just past Earth, I want you to have a reason that people say this expression. And the way, for instance, George R. R. Martin's Fire and Ice series, most of the expressions they say are completely new. He's just invented them. And you have to just go, oh, okay, that's a thing people say, you know?
Which is odd, considering that it is George R. R. Martin has pretty much just stolen everything that happened from Game of Thrones, barring the undead zombies, of course, but like the political intrigue and everything like that.
From The Witcher?
No. From medieval Europe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like full-blown, like,
and
just,
even the geography, you look at it, and the wall was a wall he found in England, between England and Scotland, and they're the wildlings.
Hadron's Wall?
Et cetera, et cetera. Sorry if you're from Scotland and you didn't know that it was a really, like, you were the wildlings.
Yeah. Even I didn't.
That's not my fault. That's
my ancestors are furious right now, John.
Yeah, I'm from the Kerr clan. I actually have a bagpipe. Not a full-size one, unfortunately. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. But the expressions here, I felt like they were... Not only were they from our world, but also, like, I don't think they would have come out when society was built to the current level it is.
Yeah.
With the exception of Toss a Coin to the Witcher, obviously. I mean, that's a good one, but... So it just brought me out of the world and kind of the way people acting, and they crammed so much into episode one... I wanted something a bit more slow paced, a bit more realistic.
Mm.
I guess was what I was looking for. So well, I mean, I should have come with less expectations. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, because I mean, it is only 8 episodes as well, and they've got a lot to get through. I thoroughly enjoyed The Witcher. I thought, like, I've heard a lot of people actually say that, like, they don't like episode 1.
Okay, right?
So maybe you should try episode 2 and 3. Yeah. Because it's quite interesting. So myself, when I watched it, I've come up with a new thing. So they have this thing called the Law of Surprise in The Witcher. See, this is why you should actually finish watching it, because everything you just said about like expression and everything like that, the Law of Surprise basically just feeds everything you just said.
Okay, now so, I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. So basically, when you save someone's life...
Whoa!
Don't worry about that, folks. It was just a minor coronavirus earthquake. So what happens is when you... Because I was like massively confused when it happened, right? I'm just like, what the hell just happened, right?
Is this in episode 1?
No. Because it's not a spoiler, but the Law of Surprise states that when you... Like, if you were to save my life as payment... You could then demand you can then invoke the Law of Surprise, which basically means, because it's like a double-edged sword, essentially. It basically means that you get something of mine that I don't know I have yet. So it's like, let's say I pulled you out of a burning wagon, right? And then you get home and realized, oh, we had a really good yield harvest. Like, we've got more than we expected. I would then, if I invoked the Law of Surprise, I would then get that extra bit of harvest, essentially. So the Law of Surprise, if you break the Law of Surprise, like, destiny's going to come and get you, essentially. It's coming to get you.
Did you say that? Which way around is it? So if I save your life, you get something of mine.
No. Other way. No. I switched roles there. So if you had saved my life, right, pulling me out of the burning carriage, and you invoked the Law of Surprise, and I'm going back to my good old farm where I didn't know, but I had this awesome yield of crop that was like four times larger, then you would get that extra 3/4, essentially.
Well, that seems fair if I save your life.
Yeah, exactly. But it could be something innocuous, like, oh, I didn't know I got this rock. Here you go, type of thing. So that plays a good thing, like a big part. But every time I've heard someone invoke the law of surprise on that show, everybody dies. So it's like, it's awesome. So every time...
don't do it.
I'm in an awkward situation, I just invoke the law of surprise and start swinging my sword. If you know what I mean, I'm talking about a metal forged sword that cuts flesh.
Okay, I need to watch this to understand what on earth is going on.
But yeah, so The Witcher I really enjoyed because it was just like a... it's not Game of Thrones. If you're going into this considering Game of Thrones, you're wrong. But what I do like about it is it's heavy on folklore. So The Witcher is all about... we haven't actually explained what it is. It follows... I think the best way to describe it, really, would be to go with the proper synopsis. Because I would butcher it terribly. But...
Make sure there's no major spoilers.
No, I won't. Okay, so The Witcher TV series is a fantasy drama series. And it is fantastic. I'm just trying to find the thing there. Okay, so it's set in a fictional medieval-inspired landmass known as the Continent. The Witcher explores the legend of Geralt of Rivia and Princess Ciri, who are linked by destiny to one another.
Dun, dun, dun.
The show... So the thing about the show as well, it follows three timelines. So three sets of characters... Three timelines, okay? And they do converge. So, you know, that's fine. So, the first season comprises of 8 episodes, and it's fantastic. I really recommend you give it the first 2 episodes, because obviously the first episode has a bit of a repulsion to it, perhaps. But, yeah, give it a listen. And, John, you're wrong, and you're going to have to watch... I mean, you've got Netflix. You've got someone's Netflix.
I've deleted it.
Oh, have you now? I guess I should change all my passwords then. Oh, man. So give it a listen. Enjoy it. John, do you have any final thoughts?
What can I say?
Have you heard the Toss a Coin to Your Witcher song?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we'll play that on next week's episode of the podcast, or the next podcast, I should say. And... You can listen to it before then, of course, but we're definitely going to play it there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if there's music, I am always a big fan of music. Mm-hmm. So.
They actually go through the song's creation in the show. That's the thing. Because it's like it's like this folky tale, this folky song, where it's meant to kind of like change Geralt of Rivia's reputation because he's a witcher.
Witchers
are kind of looked down upon. Because they're kind of mutated a little. Not as in like grossly, like two-faced, one screaming,
just
the other one singing.
Purple eyes, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Where is it? I'm going to sing a verse. When a humble bard graced a ride along with Geralt of Rivia, and so came this song. No, and along came this song? I don't know. But yeah, it's fantastic. It's got a great beat. I just thought you'd really enjoy that. So give it a go.
So, I have a new obsession.
Yes.
And I think I don't like it about myself.
Oh, John. I mean, we have talked about this.
There's this new app out called TikTok. And...
I'm installing it right now.
Imagine a social media, but instead of it being people that you know showing you pictures of their life that make sense... And sort of depict a little bit of their life to you, and you can share a moment of, oh, that's what that person's doing, or hey, how cool is that? I'd like to do that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it was just people doing random weird stuff with music in the background. Now that you've imagined that, that's TikTok.
Right. So a hodgepodge of weirdness.
Is the only way to describe it. Now, this is very new. It's not that new, but it's not like a perfected social media medium. Like YouTube, you know what to expect. People are making videos. The algorithm's giving you videos that you like to watch. And it's just normal and everything's going well. Well, the algorithm is quite extreme. And there's not too much content being created for this app. So the silliest little things will just take off and go viral.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Because there's three things it takes into account, right? Likes, comments, and if someone views it all the way to the end.
Oh, okay, right. How long are the videos? Or is that indeterminate?
It can be 15... Well, it can be zero, really, but it's 15 or 30 seconds generally.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
I think it can go even longer sometimes. Can't remember. I'm not that much of a pro of it. Yep.
Yep.
But yeah, so essentially people will do a video where they lead up to something, almost like J.J. Abrams, if you've watched Lost or Star Trek or something like that. He'll lead up to something for ages and ages and ages, making you wonder what it is. Are you wondering yet?
I'm definitely wondering. I'm wondering what you're doing with your hand.
These videos just do it.
Yeah.
And then right before the end, they'll show you what it is. And then you have to wait and watch the whole video again and pause it at the right moment. So it tricks you into watching it multiple times, which makes the TikTok algorithm push it out to more and more people. The video goes viral.
Fascinating. Okay, right.
Yeah. So you use all these kinds of tricks, or you say, what happens if you press that button and people don't know that's the follow button and stuff like this, whereas everyone knows what to expect on other social media.
Yep.
So you wouldn't get away with these tricks. Mm-hmm. So the stuff that goes viral on there is so weird and strange.
That's good. I like weird and strange.
So I tried to make a weird, strange video of my own in which the character of me on TikTok, which is different to the actual John that exists.
Okay.
The character of me is confused about something and I am out the front yard of my garden and I decide to leap my own fence.
Okay.
Run along there's a retaining wall, like a raised garden bed that you're not technically supposed to walk in, but it's fine. I just run along the garden, run down the slope into the side where I have a banana tree, look down, and what do I see? And you'll have to watch the video to find out, right? That has gotten 25,900 views now.
Wow. Wow.
And it was like 3 days ago that I posted it.
Goodness gracious me. Because I have not used TikTok before. I've seen a whole bunch of stuff. Like, even now, like, I'd have to obviously look at it and see what the go is.
Yeah.
And I have just downloaded it.
Don't use the app is my warning to you. Never open it.
Why?
It's weird.
Now I have to. I mean, it's like you don't know
it's
me.
It's not weird in a good way. It's just weird.
Well, the format that you're talking about, like the whole kind of like suspense build up thing, literally all I'm thinking about right now is making a horror TikTok.
Yeah, it could take off for sure.
It will take off, and we're doing an episode right now after this podcast. And we're going to get Caitlin involved with it, and we're going to do something creepy and weird, and it will go viral.
Okay.
I promise you.
Just make sure it's right at the end and people don't quite know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm going to be. Like, you're going to have to basically. I'm like an old man, all right? So when it comes to technology, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, Johnny boy, why don't you come and show me how TikTok works?
Now, it's interesting you point this out because you might be wondering, if I think it's weird, why am I trying to get popular? And my point of bringing it up on the podcast is not for you to follow me on TikTok.
Totally is. Piano clip.
Don't do that. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it's an interesting thing. Like, if I think this social media is so weird, why am I on it? Why would I bother? And the answer is lots and lots of musicians have taken off. So in case you didn't get the joke from last segment, I did in fact produce the last song.
What? John, I mean, had you told me, then I might have released those challenges that you still owe me. But that's now I'm putting in an extra 7. I'm kidding.
So I would like to get my music out there.
Yeah.
Like, I like the
good
idea
music.
Of, yeah, making my music and giving people something to enjoy, add to their playlist, those kinds of things. And a lot of musicians have made it big from it going viral that people use your song in the background of some type of video, whether it be a dance, a lip sync, or just... I'm going to show me freezing this melted gobstopper. I don't know. They're really taking off the melted gobstopper.
What?
Videos. What? Don't even... So...
What is this platform?
So what I was always worried about is this transition from, as you said, like from just the person who's cool, who's up to date with technology and everything, to the person who's like, oh, what is... That's weird. Like, why are people doing that? And then eventually you sort of phase out and you don't stay up with the times.
Yeah.
Because although when we're old, we'll know exactly what computers are like.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to forget and go back to newspapers.
Oh, I'm not getting old, John. I'm not getting old.
Well, not if coronavirus...
Oh, well done. I'll give you a high five for that. Well done.
Yeah, that's gross.
Oh, John, I love you. That was so good. Oh, wow. Yep.
But there'll be something else, right? Maybe it'll be mind things that you plug in and reality becomes VR or something.
Oh, right.
That will freak us out and we'll be like, why are people doing this? We don't understand it. And I think that TikTok is the first step in my descent into not understanding.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't. I haven't even attempted it, obviously.
I spent a while just watching the videos and trying to understand what was entertaining about them. And my conclusion was they're not. But people, there's a part of your brain that just wants to understand them.
Mm.
And that's what makes them interesting. The act of understanding them isn't the interesting part.
So what about, with the whole TikTok thing, you called it a social media platform.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's entirely correct.
Okay, radio. So it's not like a... Because, like, I mean, Facebook is such a dominant part of people's lives now, right? Like, before it was MySpace.
Yes.
But MySpace didn't get as big as what Facebook is now. Like, Facebook is integrated to almost, like, everything, right? Like, you can sign into probably government websites with your Facebook account now, right? I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just theorizing. But nonetheless, like, Facebook is such a dominant part. Like, I just don't see room for another social media platform. But this is maybe more of like an entertainment platform, like a YouTube thing, maybe. I don't, like, I have no idea. Like, I've never seen it. I have no idea.
It's sort of like if you imagine YouTube is like a platform for creating videos.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like Snapchat or Instagram stories, mm-hmm. but instead of it being your friend and it being
like everyone. A stranger.
So
it
YouTube
sounds like
for
it
Snapchat.
Was Vine.
It's very like, similar to Vine.
Vine was like my favorite like entertainment platform.
It's like Vine, but...
longer.
Yeah, and people have more like music in the background rather than creative editing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very similar though.
Yeah, right. Okay,
it did sort of rise up just as Vine was melting.
Yeah.
It is quite old now, but not in terms of social media.
Yeah, gotcha. Right. So TikTok, right. Okay, fascinating. I'm really interested in checking it out. I mean, you say the app is horrifying, but I'm still...
The content is horrifying.
I'm cool with that. Within reason, of course. But I'm quite excited to check this out now and to make something spooky right now. Like, we can have, like, someone sneaking up behind someone in a mirror or something. And just before they get them, something strange will happen. I don't know. See how things go. I don't know.
Well, stay on the lookout for that horrifying TikTok.
Or wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Funny horror.
Yeah,
so
he's...
have someone sneak up behind somebody. Then, I don't know if, like, TikTok... Doesn't, like, the video, like, shift or something? Or break or something? I don't know.
It can do, yeah.
But then we all end up doing the washing machine.
I've already done a TikTok of the washing machine.
I didn't... You're doing the... That's trademark, John.
Do you want me to delete
it? You owe me $75 million now.
I only got 600 views.
Well, then you owe me 670 million views.
No, that's not how anything works.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, TikTok. A little bit weird. A little bit strange.
You should try and get people to follow you, though, surely.
I don't know if following even helps.
I have no idea.
I'd rather, if you want to do something to help my music career, probably just downloading the song.
That was probably better, yeah.
I don't know whether TikTok will last, but if you do have a TikTok account, please feel free to use any of my songs. Just search piano.
Oh, there you go. Sweet.
Make it go
viral. Yeah, that's nice. Awesome. Cool. I like it. Check it out, folks. It'll be fantastic.
Or a bit weird.
Or a bit, yeah.
There you go. Well, I do believe that brings us to the end of this fine episode.
But, John.
Wait, what?
I've missed hanging out with you.
You know what? let's close it out.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Fine, dear friends and listeners. It has been our great honor and joy to bring information, probably no information whatsoever, about the coronavirus. Just calm your farm, fam, okay?
Don't buy toilet paper.
What is it? Calm your memories, families, all right? Decipher that if you like. But
I'm not going to.
No. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back into this podcasting season. It is great fun. And we love hearing from you. So should you desire to get in contact with us, do feel free to do so. You can email us at a certain email address, which I'm trying to find, but John probably knows off the top of his head. John?
TheNerdsWay@gmail.com.
You can contact our Twitter, which is Hold Your Horses, John.
Twitter.com/TheNerdsWay_pod.
Damn you, I had that one. you can contact our personals on Twitter. I am Voice of Adam, or at the Voice of... at Voice of Venom, I should say. And John is at...
Twitter.com/PianoCle.
Oh, you're going... Oh, okay, right. You're going all famo. Okay, righto.
Yeah, I'm too cool.
Yeah, okay. So he's using his celebrity account, whatever. so, yeah, but do send us messages, emails, anything you'd like. Anything you'd like us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. And we will pick one lucky person to receive a box of Wuhan coronavirus.
No, don't do that, Adam. That I think we could probably get sued for that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Then we won't do that. We will send you a box of love, which is invisible and will arrive randomly at any point in the future.
Wow, that's actually quite nice.
It could have happened right then.
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah. So
you're welcome.
One person has just received a box of love that is invisible, located somewhere in your
house. If it was you, send us a photo of the box.
Yeah.
Twitter.com/TheNerdsWay_pod.
Cool. Well, thank you for listening, and we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Goodbye.